is a generational blessing. Your children come out blessed because granddaddy tithed. Amen. Not even you, granddaddy. Huh? Woo! Glory! Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord. But people keep trying to change him. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, said the reason Satan cannot have his way is because God don't change. It is from this text that I got that phrase I used years ago. I haven't used it in a while, but here it comes tonight. I said, Satan can never talk God out of loving me. Doesn't matter what accusations he holds, nobody's listening to him because it's a covenant. For years, when Genesis was preached and they talked about Adam and Eve making fig leaves to cover themselves and God coming and killing an animal and making sheepskins to cover them. Because, I mean, what can leaves do? They won't last but 24 hours. Amen. And your stuff will be showing everywhere. I didn't see the higher truth, and the people preaching to us didn't see it either. God did not kill the animal to make them the clothes. God killed animal to release blood so he could relate to them. Sin entered, and he needs a blood covenant. The skin was a subsidiary, but the main thing was blood being between man and God, so God can redeem him even in his mess. I am preaching better than you. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? It's always in the blood. It's a covenant. Otherwise, God's arrival would have killed them. So he shed blood to have a medium to transact with man. And then he made clothes for him from the skin. But the skin wasn't the reason he killed the animal. It was to release blood. Because without the shedding of blood, no remission, no covering, no nothing. Can I watch? Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, so how do we come back to you? God said, your problem is generational. Your fathers went away from me. Their children went away from me until it got to you. He said, now, I've come to redeem you. Come back to me. And I will come back to you. You notice the next move is yours. Because he has done all he needs to do. I said, the next move is yours. The book of James tells you that. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It's the same thing. He said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And they asked him, how shall we return? And God answered, will a man rob God? In other words, if you want to come back, start with your tithes. But if you're still here, hearing and hawing on the tithe, forget it. Nothing will work. Don't let Satan deceive you by telling you God understands. He doesn't. He said to me, I could have sat in heaven telling you all how much I loved you. And you all would have died and gone to hell. I sold my son to get you back. So when I'm telling you to sow yours and you are hee-hawing, who has time for it? That's why the people are praying, nobody listens to them. If you're non-covenant, nobody's paying you any attention. In case you think that a need is what moves God, then you need to travel so you can go and see poverty and pain and disease. Amen. And nobody's listening to them until a son of God will go there and put his foot on the ground and the glory comes down and he starts teaching salvation, faith, and all of a sudden the curse lifts. Hallelujah. Huh? How can an Islamic imam, a Muslim imam, sell us the land to build a church in Mombasa? An imam. Hey. Didn't you see it, Elder Bobby, when I sent you to lead the delegation, where they come and they leave in animal sacrifices and enchantments, chicken, and all this, trying to curse what is blessed.
Yeah.
They don't know their hand cannot reach it.
Amen. Amen.
I received a testimony, and I forgot it Sunday, and the Holy Spirit just brought it up. The night watchman on the church property quit and said that at night, he sees people walking on the roof of the church, and he don't know who they were. These are demons. Are you ready for the punchline? So, Bishop's wife comes to Elder Bobby to complain about the things they were dealing with, and Elder Bobby does what I taught him. He raised an altar and walked the property, making decrees. Are you ready? The night watchman returned and said, from that day till now, they haven't seen anybody walking on the roof. The devils were chased away.
Amen.
Try this for size. Every well dug in the area produced salt water. And then we dig one in the church premises and it produced fresh. Hey, fresh water. And the Muslims coming to get water.
Yeah.
I said, make sure they know this is Jesus.
Amen.
Muhammad can't get you this water. This is Jesus. This is Jesus.
Praise God.
Glory to God. All right, see, my time is gone. It says, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from me, mine ordinances, and you have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? And God said, will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He makes it plain. In? He says, the reason you guys went away from me and you all became thieves. You're stealing my money. So what's the net result? You're dealing with famine, pestilence, enemies invading you. I don't know what people gain. Your tithe is so small in comparison to the potential
Amen.
Of what God will do in your life.
Amen.
you holding on to these pesas? Huh? When the real deal is in the storehouse with your name on it. Huh? If I'm riding around Atlanta with my stuff, all my stuff in my old 77 Chevy, and look at what God has done in my life today, what am I doing with those $30, $60? I give 10 times that in every service I attend. I told you I left 10% years ago. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So he's telling them, in returning, I will solve the generational problems. Your parents' rebellion, whether two or three generations created. You return to me in the tithe, and I'll break it. When the guy came to me, telling me that all his children, I think he has three children, and all of them either have autism or this or that, I said, hey, you're not a tither. He just looked at me. He said, well, you know, I tithe sometimes. I said, don't you see? The enemy was able to come in and plunder you generationally. There's some things that happen to people is the ignorance of the scriptures. I went to South Sudan with Doc and Arms of Care. And they told me that there was a couple, an Indian couple, that needed to come to me for prayer because since they've been married, they have not had any children. So I waited around for these people. I saw those two people come in the hotel lobby, but they didn't say anything to me. I didn't know it was them. So I went on back to my room. And then shortly I packed up and they took me to the airport and I boarded the flight to Nairobi. Lo and behold, while I was sitting in my seat, the same couple came in the flight. I said, okay, God, it must be these people. So we both land in Nairobi. The bishop was outside waiting on me. So I asked them where they were going. They told me. I asked them their gate. They told me. I said, now, this is my gate here. You need to sit here and wait for me. Let me go and meet my bishop outside. And I have to go through security to come back. So I did, and when I returned, I asked them, so tell me, what's the issue here? He said that, you know, they've been married all these years, and no issue, they're not getting pregnant. I said, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit is telling me, you're not married. He said, no, we're married. I said, did you register this marriage with the Indian government when you did it? He said, no. We just did it as, I said, here we go. You think that those things are arbitrary? It's God that gave you the laws of the land. And when you line up with it, then he'll put his seal. I said, the witness in the spirit is that you are shacking up. That's why you're barren. I said, go and submit to the law. Register your marriage. Woman, let me see your passport. She gave me, you see, your passport is still in your maiden name. I said, go get a new passport. Take on his name. I said, before long, you will bring me pictures of children. Amen. The realm of the spirit is legalistic. It doesn't bend. That thing amazes me. I stand up here and say, now, by the power vested in me, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I pronounce you husband and wife. All the devils retire. You can go home with the woman. Nobody's saying anything. If you get pregnant, everybody's rejoicing. But if that is not said, get pregnant, all hell breaks loose. And everybody be talking. The whisperers. It's amazing what happens. It is not form. It's for real. It's power. See, I can't get hardly any amen. I say it's power. It's covenant. They come back to me. I'll come back to you. So how will we come back? So when I hear people making noise, I don't understand. I said, can't you read? They ask God, how should we come back to you? He said, start with your tithe. So if you're non-covenant in here, you don't know you've lived a life beneath your destiny. I told you that one of the I don't know what word to use. It's such a detriment for people in skilled professions who have good jobs. So their job masks their poverty. Just because your profession pays good money, it looks like you're blessed. But you are not really blessed. Because if something happens or that job leaves, then everything will come hanging out. You will not see the power of God working. All right, look at Genesis 28:16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I know it. You remember he was running from Esau, and he just happens to alight in a place, and he fell asleep, and all of a sudden he saw a ladder. Angels of God ascending and descending. He said, my God. He said, God is in this place. I didn't know it. Because that's usually what happens when you are scared or you're running from your stuff or from people that you owe. That's why when the phone rings or the doorbell rings, you don't answer. You have to make sure. Hallelujah. Moving right along. Said, God is in this place. I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? I've heard people say that about our church. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon it, the top of it. Remember now, all these things are happening before the law was given. None of these people were under the law. God was teaching them how to serve him by faith. Moses was nowhere. I can't get to it, but that's the next segment. But I can't get to it today. So none of this has anything to do with the law or Old Testament or any of that stuff. Amen. I know I saw it on the Voice of Resurrection. I had already shared that in another service. I said, you know, during COVID, nobody remembered that Psalm 91 was in the left side. Everybody, they were claiming it. I thought it was Old Testament. People are funny.
Amen.
And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. See, Jacob was at the bare bones. Hey, if you take care of me, then I'll serve you. If you don't do it, who is he going to serve? So his covenant was still shaky at the time. Okay, now watch. So you give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Pay me or else. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth. Hallelujah. Look at that. With no Bible written, with no law, he knew the way to keep covenant with God is to tithe. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for teaching us your covenant. May all the sons and daughters you've given to this house not play with their covenant. May they tithe first, honor you first. Hallelujah. That the glory will move in their lives. Remove yokes, break generational curses, and the blessing will continue to rain on them. Lord, I keep declaring that anybody working a job in this house will have a six-figure job. Yeah. That all the businesses will bring millions. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, we celebrate the light of the Word of God in this area of our faith that is currently under siege. The spirit of error has gone into the land, that even some major ministries are preaching against this, and I'm watching them, their streams drying up and they're backing up because they've gotten into error. You cannot grudge God of the tithe. He told Israel in what you call the Old Testament. He said, you're cursed with a curse, this whole nation. He said, shall a man rob God? He said, when you touch the tenth, you're robbing God. You're stealing from God. Just because it's written on the left side does not mean you're not stealing from God. You're still stealing from God. And you will not prosper. As I said a few days ago, that one non-tither wrote that those of us that tithe are suppressing the testimony of successful non-tithers. I said, sorry, we are not suppressing anything. Who is suppressing who? It's just that you don't exist. You're filled with curses. Any ministry that rises up and starts preaching against tithing, I give them 10 years. They won't exist. You watch. 10 years, because 10 is governance. God will give them 10 years. And if they don't change from that era, you will see the place will be deserted. Somebody else has to take over the property. Don't think that size can protect you from error. No, you wouldn't. I remember when I used to go to Milledgeville, Georgia on 20 East, there was this huge church. They painted purple and gold and yellow and all this stuff. They were on the right side. I don't remember the name. And one day the pastor came up talking about he was gay. I don't know if it's a warehouse there now or whatever. When the spirit of error enters, doesn't matter how huge you are, you're going to come to nothing. Back away from teaching the error, telling people not to tithe. You have no authority to do so. You have no premise in the Word of God to do so. You've become a preacher of curses and destruction of destiny. I am comfortable in my skin where God has placed me, and no demonic force can do anything about it. It's the chair God gave to me. So I can speak the truth without fear. God came to me and said, if you don't tithe, there's very little I will do with you because you're a non-covenant man. Repent and be saved today in Jesus' name. I celebrate the victory of the Word of God for those of you that believe and tithe. You enter the blessing we have experienced. That's all I have done for 21 years of Resurrection House for All Nations. I tithe and give offerings. And Resurrection House for All Nations tithes away from us and give offerings. That's all we've done. And God has supernaturally met our need. We've harassed no one for money. We've stressed out no one. Our members come to church from year to year to year, not under any stress to do anything. Absolutely not. It's a free will offering and faithfulness to God. That's what you want. Fear not, God says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will help you. Hold you up with my great right hand. Amen. Come on over. Repent. Return. I was explaining this in Kenya. This young man came to me. He said, I am one of those that believed that you shouldn't tithe. I had received that teaching. He said, but I've been so convicted today and I repent. Here is a portion of my tithe. I will do the rest later. Ooh, the way God beautifully testified. And the glory came down. Vroom. And the young man hit the ground. It was so sweet. Sometimes, you know, the glory comes down and people just fall down. But there was a sweetness to his visitation. It was like God was smiling on him and testifying, finally, son, you are back to me. Run from anybody teaching you not to tithe. They're going to destroy your destiny. And that ministry will soon cease to exist. It is a road to nowhere. Don't know what Bible they're reading. I'm a son of Abraham in this new covenant. And his blessings are mine. And Abraham tithed. One ignorant man said, well, Abraham only tithed one time. I said, Lord, what do you say about this? He said, well, he tithed to Melchizedek. There was no temple. There was no house of God. There was no priest. There was nobody. So where would he tithe? Everything he lived out, we are supposed to practice. That's where we are. But why do I need to re-preach the message that's already preached? Let me see you Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Worship with us. Your life will be transformed. Otherwise, we'll see you here Monday on the Voice of Resurrection. Put your seed in the ground. Become a partner today. We are not telling you what to give. Ask God, he will tell you. And when you do, he will respond. God bless you. Receive in Jesus' name.